Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there tonight. I am so glad to have you with me at this episode of 12 Tribes Ministries Radio. Tonight I want to talk about how I learned to hear God's voice for myself. Now, these things may not apply to everybody, but I just really wanted to share what happened with me, because so often there are things in our lives, in our individual lives, that do encourage and support and affirm other people in what they're walking through at the moment. So tonight will be a little bit of my own journey, designed to coincide with a series on five tests for hearing God's voice that I'm writing on my blog. So I invite you to visit 12tribesministries.com, where there are plenty of prompts for healing through art, information on growing deeper in your walk with the Lord. And there is a link to my art studio life blog, so you can find out a lot more about me and my regular life. So, just to share a little bit more about my background before I really started pressing in to hear God's voice for myself. I'm sorry. Just someone seemed to have called in and blinked back out. All right. Thank you, and you're welcome to call in and listen, but I may not take callers until the end if I have time to answer any questions. And you're always welcome to email me at the website. Okay, thank you. Again, my background before I really started hungering and thirsting to hear God's voice. I've always gone to church. I'm sure I went to church before I was born, as my parents were regular churchgoers. I grew up in a liturgical church that practiced infant baptism, and then the children grew, and the young teenagers were confirmed at age 13, and so I went through that process. And since then, my husband and I have started to attend a non-denominational church, and there's been many little stops along the way as our spiritual growth has continued. But back when I was a child and I was in a liturgical church that I still love, and I still long for the patterns for the church year, for the cycles that we learned. And that still really is imprinted deep within me, and I think it has helped with my spiritual growth. And if you go look at my art blog, you'll see that this year in particular, God is showing me how to weave those longings and those desires and the numbering and the counting that the church year brings, and how it dovetails in with his feasts and festivals written about in the Word, and how I can just weave that into my life, whether I'm in a liturgical church or not. So in my particular church, the year I was going to confirmation class, that happened to be the same year that Billy Graham started having televised crusades. And he may have had them before, but this was the first that I knew about it, and that our church was actively instructing the congregation to listen to the Billy Graham crusade and to support that. And so my family did. We did nightly devotions every day of the year, and that was our time with the Lord. That is how I grew up, learning to spend time with the Lord. And I really didn't know there was much more, but I was free to investigate. I was free to follow the Lord's leading and guiding, but I just didn't know that there was more to be done. But the church encouraged us to listen to the Billy Graham crusade, and so we did. And we were watching TV in our living room. It was probably the first night of the crusade. And Billy was done with his sermon, and he was giving the altar call. And he invited anybody who wanted to turn their heart over to the Lord to come down to the front, and there would be people there to pray the sinner's prayer with them. And I remember thinking, oh, if only I was there, I'd walk down and ask Jesus into my heart. And about the time I said that in my heart, Billy Graham's voice came over the TV, and there's written instructions flashing across the screen, and he is saying, if anybody watching at home and listening at home wants to do this, you can just stay right where you're at, and you can pray this prayer right along with me right now. And he led the sinner's prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart. I was so excited. I knew this was monumental. And so, you know, in my mind, I told Jesus that I was going to open up my Bible and let it just fall open to any page. And I was going to, by faith, take that word that the Bible fell open to as a special word from him to me. And I look back at that and I think, oh, how God honored that child faith that I had. Because I'm not so sure I would do that today unless I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to do that. Anyway, my Bible fell open to a passage in Acts 19, and I carefully put a square around it. I boxed the passage that I felt that the Lord was saying that this was his special message to me. And in those days, we were taught in my liturgical church I grew up in that the Bible was holy, and it is. But with that holiness, we were supposed to keep it very pristine. We never marked in our Bibles. We always tried to keep it clean and neat, off the ground, up high, safe, protected. So I was really taking a big risk to put this mark in my Bible, but I wanted to be able to find this passage again if I ever forgot where it was. And I'm so glad I did, because years later when I was asking the Lord something very specific, it brought me back to that beginning word, and I cried probably for a month afterwards when I realized he knew my journey before I'd even walked it, and he had prepared the word for me when I needed it so clearly, 15 years later. But anyway, that's a story for another evening, but that is my testimony of how I asked Jesus into my heart. Now we're going to flash forward about, I was 13. I don't even remember what year that was, but I do remember the year that I began to hunger and thirst for more of the Lord. It was 1985, the fall of 1985. For about 6 months during the end of that year, I was just seeking something more from the Lord. I had developed a habit of having morning quiet times and disciplined study of the word on my own, and had joined Bible studies and went to church faithfully. Our family went to church faithfully. By then I was married. I was a mother of two young boys, and I just needed more, because I was reading in the word how these people had such dynamite relationships with Jesus even after he ascended into heaven. And I kept reading words that promised that that same kind of relationship was available for the people who came after, which I knew I was one of them. And I just didn't feel like I had that kind of personal, dynamic relationship with the Lord, even though I knew he lived in my heart. And I wanted him to talk to me. I wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to have clear direction so that if he told me to go down to the gate named Beautiful and pray for someone there, that I could do it without a moment's hesitation and have confidence that he had told me to do that, and that I could leave the results of that obedience and that prayer in his hands. I wanted to do that. But I could see, on the other hand, that I was a young mother and I was a stay-at-home mom, which was wonderful. And my ministry was to my family. I firmly believe that. And the people in my fellowship and the people in my community. But still, it just had such a mundane feel to it, and I knew there was something more. Nowadays, if someone starts sharing similar stories with me, I nod my head and smile, because I remember feeling, and I call it a holy restlessness, because I really believe that's what it was. I think I had grown to the point where the Lord was just waiting and ready for me to take that dive. And he just needed me to be aware that there was something more. And it took that long for my awareness to get to the point where it was in 1985. Now, during this time of just hungering and thirsting for more of the Lord, and I already had my quiet time habit in place, and I'm not saying that you have to have a quiet time habit in place, you know, to clearly hear from the Lord, but it helps because, as you will see, one of the things that aids in knowing God's voice is a clear understanding of the Word of God and to be familiar with the Word of God. Well, growing up in my liturgical church, we, in going through the church year, we had a cycle of going through the scriptures year after year. We did Advent began, you know, the story of Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. And then the first of the year was through Easter was Jesus's years of growing and starting his ministry and, of course, being crucified on the earth. And then during the summer, we did the epistles, and in the fall, we do Old Testament, and then come Advent time, we'd start the cycle over again. And it was a beautiful pattern because these biblical truths and these beautiful stories went deep inside of our hearts because of the repetition. And then I learned how to do my own quiet times, and so I was even more familiar with the Word. I just needed more because with all of that discipline, I still was missing the something more. And I believe God answered my heart cry, even though I probably could not have even verbalized it then, by creating this insatiable hunger and thirst for the Word inside of me. And every spare moment I had, I was scouring the scriptures and just reading and trying to understand. And during this time, I had a became aware that I had an assumption, a perception of God that was not true. And it, the perception was that he was this giant policeman in the sky and that, you know, he was probably disappointed with me. And even with my quiet time habits and my prayers and all of my my Christianity was really works-based and performance-based. And I always felt that if I didn't do something quite right, he'd probably be disappointed and withdraw from me a little bit. But during these 6 months in 1985, that perception shifted. I saw God for the very first time as an incredibly loving God that just poured out his love on us. And every word of scripture I began to read through the lens of his love for me, not his disappointment in me. And it changed everything. So, by the time I was getting ready to totally surrender my entire being over to him, I'd really fallen in love with him. It was hard to fall in love with a policeman who was going to be disappointed with me, you know, but it's not hard to fall in love with the lover of your soul. And that, of course, led to me really hearing his voice clearly. When I could drop that perception of him being disappointed and being the policeman, I could begin to hear his voice in my spirit clearly. I want to take you through a quick journey through the scriptures because that is how he led and guided me during these months. And I'm going to take you to some of the scriptures that particularly he used to teach me how he wanted to speak to me and to you too and to all people here on earth. Of course, unless you already have asked Jesus into your heart, his voice may not be quite as clear. I say that, but I know there's supernatural meetings with Jesus in all parts of the world because the time is growing short and he does not want anyone to perish. Okay, back to the scriptures. And these are listed in the program description on Blog Talk Radio. And so I encourage you to go there and write them down in case you miss them as I'm going through them. And also that you could, you know, really study around each passage because I'm not going to read the entire thing for the sake of time. I'm just going to read the highlights and explain what the Lord spoke to me in each one. So the very first scripture we're going to is Genesis, the beginning, Genesis 1. And we're going to go to verses 26 and 27 and 28. And I'm actually going to just read 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, and so on. And what stood out to me in that passage was that the very first thing that God did after creating our original mother and father was he spoke to them. He wanted fellowship with his creation, and he spoke to them. Now, we're going to skip forward to Genesis 3. And that's the account of the fall, and it's a sad thing, but what I want to point out is a certain scripture within this whole account that really spoke to me about God's heart. Not the big disappointed policeman that I'd always read this passage with, but with the new eyes, the new perception of a God of extreme love. And we're in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? So what I want to point out there is that there is an assumption in that verse that God always walked in the garden in the cool of the day, which means morning. And I do need to point out, if you don't already, have not already thought of this or have not heard it, that he knew where they were. He didn't have to call to them and ask them where they were because he knew. But he called to them. He spoke to them. Fellowship was extended once again to them, even though they had broken it. That is the heart of our God. He desires to speak with us. He wants that intensely and deeply. Okay, next, we're going to go to Exodus. Now, there is many instances between Genesis and Exodus of God speaking to certain men in the Bible, and the course of humanity turns on these events of God speaking. But the other thing to remember with these events of God speaking to men, it's not just a one-time deal. He speaks to them often and daily, and Enoch, he walked with God, and Abraham and God were friends. So, but now we're to the place in Exodus where Moses and the children of Israel have left Egypt, and they've been walking towards Canaan, towards the promised land, for a couple of months now, and God stops them because he wants to talk to them some more, and he especially wants to talk to the entire congregation. So listen to this. This is Exodus 19, verses 7 through 9. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded Moses. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And so the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. Where God wanted the people to understand that Moses was going to be his mouthpiece. That's the believing in Moses that God was talking about there. All right. Sounds great, doesn't it? So now we're going to jump to Exodus 20, and it's verses 1 through 21. And I'm actually going to skip all the way to 18, but I just wanted to mention verses 1 through 17 are what we call the Ten Commandments. And so I want you to know that all the congregation of Israel, all 6 million people, plus Moses and the elders, are standing at the foot of the mountain of Mount Sinai, and they have heard the Lord through the thunder and the clouds and the lightning flashes and trumpet blasts speak the Ten Commandments. And this is what happens next. Starting in verse 18, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." But the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. And I think that is such a sad scripture. Here is God extending that voice of fellowship. He's desiring to speak to his people. And he wanted to make the entire nation a nation of priests. And he had to just select a few who were willing to be the nation or the tribe of priests for him. But anyway, I just wanted to point out that that applies to me so strongly, because there are times when I'm afraid of what God wants me to do. And so I don't want to hear his voice. And honestly, back when in the fall of 1985, I came to the place where I knew I was afraid to hear God's voice clearly, specifically, intimately for my life, because I was deathly afraid he was going to call me to be a missionary in Africa. And I didn't want to leave my family. That was a valley we had to pass through, and we did, and it was awesome. It was powerful because I had to lay down my family in order to go deeper with the Lord. The family couldn't be an idol in my life. It could not stand between me and God. And just so that you know, he didn't call us or myself as an individual to be a missionary to Africa yet, that I'm willing. All right. But I do want you to maybe think about, are there places in your life where you really don't want to hear God's voice? But remember, he sees everything anyway. Like with Adam and Eve, he knew where they were. He knows where you are. He knew where I was. If you keep going, you're going to find what I did, that he has these incredible blessings set up, and when you've come upon them, you're going to realize that he had them set up years ago, and it's just going to floor you. It's going to cause you to drop to your knees or fall on your face in awe and worship. Oh, but let us go on. The next scripture that we're going to run to is all the way in the New Testament, and it's John chapter 10. It's the parable of the Good Shepherd. And I'm not going to read the entire thing. My scripture that I have in our description is John 10, 1 through 5. So I'm not even going to read all of that. I'm just going to read Jesus is speaking. These are red letter words. And he says, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, the sheep simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Now, that was a promise to me in 1985. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. That was verse 4. That was powerful to me. I needed that. That was a promise that I could know his voice, because I knew, since I had asked him into my heart, I was one of his sheep. And I clung to that. I didn't know how to apply it quite yet, but I knew I could hear his voice in the way I wanted to. And I'm recognizing all of this time that he's leading and guiding me with the scripture. We were doing like a Bible drill, led by the Holy Spirit. I never really knew why I was going to a certain passage, but I just had such a strong curiosity to go check that one passage that I remembered hearing at one point, or I just read the other day. Anyway, and he would lead and teach me, and now I'm leading you through it. Now, I'm still sort of perplexed about the hearing his voice, and we're going to jump ahead into the book of James, where I happened to be reading one day. And I was in James chapter 4. I'm not going to read this verse in context, but I encourage you to. It's verse 5 out of chapter 4 of James. And this, it start, sort of starts in the middle of a sentence, so bear with me. And here it is. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose when it says, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us? That really made me stop and think and ponder. I really needed to figure out what he meant there. I mean, I could understand the shepherd image, but that, you know, the protector, the guide, the provider, but still, you know, that passionate love maybe was something I couldn't really see with the image of the shepherd with the sheep. But jealousy, and that's the beloved, the bridegroom being jealous for his bride, and he's jealous for the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. And somehow that connected in me that it's God's own Holy Spirit that came to dwell in my heart when I asked him in. And of course, the Holy Spirit hears and recognizes the voice of God. You know, thinking back to the John 10 passage, so I'm starting to make the connection. I understood it's not just me, my flesh and blood person that in my soul that can hear God. It is the Spirit of God inside of me that can hear God. I used to be afraid, and sometimes I still need to do some checks, but I used to be afraid that I would miss God. Or that I would think that I heard his voice, but it wouldn't be someone, really be his voice. It'd be a stranger's voice, as the John 10 passage talks about, and I'd be going off on a tangent that had nothing to do with God. But this James chapter 4, verse 5, verse gave me the courage to understand that while that was possible, what was even more probable was that the Spirit within was going to hear God's voice and help me understand and hear it within my own soul and spirit. Now, I have one more verse to go to, and then my episode here is going to be over tonight, and I won't have really shared the impact of this next verse, so I'll just leave you on a cliffhanger. Again, we're in James, James chapter 1, verse 17. The scripture is, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Wow. When I read that, the thought came through my mind like a lightning bolt, that if every good thing bestowed is from above, that every good thought within my mind I could attribute to be from the Lord. Now that may sound real simplistic and theologically incorrect, but it was what worked for me. I was so incredibly blown away by that idea, I couldn't wait to start it. And if you stop and think about it, why not give thanks to the Lord for the thoughts that we have in our mind? Why not give good thanks to the Lord for each and every good word, good thought, good idea, loving urge? So that is probably where I need to leave you all tonight, because I want to end this in a pleasant way and not just get cut off in mid-sentence. So think about it. What would it look like in your life if you started just attributing every good thought, every loving urge to be from the Lord? Truly, its source is the Lord. You know, the enemy isn't going to encourage us towards good, towards love. He's the one who steals, kills, and destroys. But the Father works, walks, urges towards love, and every good thing originates with him. Let me leave you with that, and we'll be back at our next scheduled program, and I think we'll finish this topic on learning to hear God's voice. Thank you, and have a great night.